Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
If scary movies give you dread, keep you up late night in bed, here's a podcast that will help you ease your mind. We'll explain the plot real nicely, then we'll talk about what's frightening so you never have to have a spooky time. It's Ruined.
Oh, hello. Welcome to Ruined. I'm Hallie.
And I'm Allison.
Just two gals in the void.
Gals in the void.
Is a podcast where we ruin a horror movie just for you.
Just for all of you.
Hallie. Allison, I'm going to ask you this time. You're on the hot seat. What's new with you, Allison?
I did just get back from visiting my parents in Maryland for a couple of days just to kind of see them, eat some seafood. But I went home and like my mom was like, we could go to the pool, we could go to the beach, we could do any of the stuff. And then it just rained like almost the entire time I was there. So it was a lot of just like sitting around and
drinking with your parents.
Just drinking and like watching TV and my mom being like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, there's nothing to do here. What do you mean? What do I want to do?
That's the problem with most places when it rains.
Yes.
It's like, I want to stay inside where it's not raining.
Right. I was like, well, I don't want to go outside. And like, we're not going to go shopping. And like, we already have our meals planned out. So I guess we'll just watch TV the whole time.
Listen, that sounds all right to me, my friend.
Yeah. But it was nice. I got
like
some crab. Got some fabulous crab. I eat the soft shell crabs. I'm one of those.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't had one until, I think, this past year. Delicious.
Yeah. Great. It's like, it's just like deep fried. Like, there's nothing.
You could deep fry a hammer and I could fucking get through that. I'd eat that.
For sure. Deep fry a shoe.
Oh, yeah. Line them up.
Some leather.
Friend.
Yeah. I'll eat anything that's been deep fried. So, you know, that was nice. And,
well, it's good.
Yeah, I have very little happening. And then I got home and Riz has been inseparable and like just keeps like climbing up on me and putting his face half an inch from my face and just kind of like sitting there for a long time staring at me like, are you going to go away again? And it's like, oh, buddy, I'm going away so much in the next month and a half.
Little Mr. Baby.
Little Mr. Baby. How are you? What's
I'm
new?
Okay.
What's grinding your gears?
I did get to go to a pool yesterday and it did make me, I was born anew.
Yes.
And
being in water.
Oh, I guess I just haven't gone, like, I literally couldn't find my swimsuit, so I swam in shorts and a sports bra, which was fine.
Yeah.
But I cannot, I have two bathing suits. I don't know where, they're somewhere in the house, but they're tucked away somewhere because I go swimming so rarely. It also was that a friend was dog sitting or cat sitting, rather, and it made me both simultaneously want to be rich and also to destroy capitalism. Does that make sense? Have you ever seen a house like that where you're like,
I have that.
I got a lot of feelings
all the time where I'm like, no one should have this.
Yes,
but also
exactly.
I
want it real bad. And that was to have a home with a pool. And again, just I happened to have access for the duration of cat sitting was pure heaven. I did have a complaint and listeners, if this applies to you, no, it doesn't. I'm talking about somebody else. I'm not talking about you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you? No, someone else. I have a standing gripe with people who bring cards or a board game to a bar that is not specifically for that.
Yes.
Or,
yes.
like, it's fine if it's, like, a big outdoor patio and
a
bunch of tables.
Yeah, if you're on a picnic table and everybody's kind of doing their own thing.
Yes. But this, to be at a bar where it's just a bar and to be playing a card game, unacceptable. Go to someone's home.
That's
not what this space is for.
No, it's not.
It's for mixing, mingling, drinking.
Drinking and sitting quietly and looking at your phone.
Exactly.
There's a bar that I go to sometimes over in like Cobble Hill Carroll Gardens, and I really love it. Just like
Can
a
you
cool,
say the name? I don't want to.
Oh, yeah. No, this is Congress Bar.
Oh, I don't know if I've been there.
Oh,
I miss
great.
New York bars. LA's got okay bars, but
it's
New York,
not the same.
In New York, it's like you could walk a block and find an excellent bar.
An excellent
to your
bar.
Because there's so many different kinds of bars.
Yes. But in LA, you really have to plan where you're going and like what type of bar you're looking for. And there's a lot of one kind and not a lot of all the other types.
And I go to this bar, and if you live on the east side of LA, it's a 4100 bar because it has outdoor space. Mm-hmm. And I assume it's because of the strike because a lot of people are off work.
Yeah.
But for a while, it was like, oh, a reasonable amount of people and they had events there. And now there's been an introduction of 100 more straight white men because I'm assuming they're on strike and there's nothing wrong against straight white men. But it's interesting how like it just was like a certain vibe and now it's like standing room only. And it's like 25. It's like, okay, well, I guess my time with this bar has come to a close. And you know, nothing wrong with that. But it's just hard. There aren't the New York density and variety of bars unparalleled.
It's unparalleled.
I mean, probably paralleled by any other European or Asian city. I'm sure that you have plenty of bars.
Yes,
too,
of course. Just any dense city that isn't built for cars. But
too bad.
And there's this couple, and I actually know the guy. He's like an ex of a friend, and he sucks. But I've been there multiple times. And it's just, like, a pretty chill neighborhood bar with, like, a nice outside space. But I just like sitting at the bar. They do, like, some good frozen drinks, but also just some, like, easy stuff. And they sit at the, like, you know when a bar is, like, an L shape? Like, the bottom part of the L, like, the short side that goes to the wall.
Yeah.
Where there's, like, two or three seats and then the long bar begins. They'll take over that corner and just play cards for hours. And it's so It doesn't bother me. It doesn't actually affect me, but it's so irritating in some way. Like,
yeah, I want to be clear. Do what you want to do, people. But some about it, it's like you were out of your house.
Yeah.
Look up and look into a human space.
Yeah,
talk
right.
to your lover. My God, you're out in New York City.
Right.
Have some goddamn dignity.
Save
for
the cards for at home.
The second you get home, you can be playing cards
Play
all
cards.
Night. I don't know. That's your business. No judgment.
Yes. No judgment.
That's my gripe. But also, I don't really believe it. I'll probably forget I even said this.
I mean, yeah, next time I see it, I'll be like, oh, that's fun.
Oh, that's fun. Can I play? You know what it is? And I'm really reckoning with this recently because at Crooked, I have very strong feelings about this, but we did sort of a summer games with like different trivia, but it was fine. We're all on different teams. We have to do a field day, Allison.
No.
A literal 3-hour outside field day event. And I understand we're going to be doing trust falls, building as a – I understand that idea. Mm. I will kill myself dead before I let any of my coworkers see me try to run.
No.
Try to catch a ball.
No.
Try to jump.
Throwing something.
Yeah, demonstrate any sort of eye-hand coordination.
No.
I refuse.
No, you can't.
I stand against
it. You simply
it.
Can't.
And I'm sure I will still have to do it. But I was filled with – so I think I don't like anything where there are rules, not because I'm a rebel, because I just cannot keep track of them.
No.
And it makes me just not want to play.
Does
that make sense?
I agree.
But if we're not there, you guys enjoy.
Yeah.
And speaking of things we don't enjoy.
Oh, what a segue.
This is the first movie of a very fun theme suggested by Allison Leiby. Have you heard of her?
Oh, my God.
And that is, of course, the theme this September is Greatest Fears.
Fears.
And because we thought, hey, we thought, Greatest Fears of all time. We thought, no, it has to be a little more personal.
Yeah.
And we're going to kick one off with one of mine.
Yes, I'm excited to talk through this with you.
Yeah, is the fear of the dentist.
Dentist.
So we will be watching The Dentist from 1996. And I did want to flag before we have Elsa talk about the trailer that it's directed by Brad Usna, who directed Society, which I think is one of our favorite.
All-time
favorite
episode. I could totally see the influence there.
Right?
100%.
So you know, and it's also, it's co-written, written by Dennis Pauly, Stuart Gordon, and Charles Finch. And of course, Stuart Gordon was the director and screenwriter of Reanimator, From Beyond, and a number of other movies, but we've done Reanimator and From Beyond. So, you know, you're in good hands. Though, perhaps this was, I would say, this is not going to be in the top paragraph of either of their Wikipedia articles. Does that
Got
make
it.
Sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
I enjoyed
it does.
It,
yes, it does.
And it was genuinely scary, but let's just say they have some real fucking A-plus films. And then, we love a B
horror movie. And this also exists.
So, Allison, what did you think of the trailer for The Dentist?
I mean, it kind of has everything I want in a movie like this. Like,
absolutely.
It's got, like, a man coming unhinged, sexual intrigue, dental work as torture. Like, it's really all of the stuff. I will say just, like, I, for a long time, did not go to the dentist because I was afraid to go. It was a, well, it was a mix of being afraid to go and then also forgetting and kind of just, that made it go for too long. And then I had to go and get two root canals and it was awful. But I'm over that kind of terror now. Okay. But just hearing the like, is really, I didn't even like doing it. I'll be honest.
Well, let's take a baseline scary. We always like to take a baseline with Allison. And then we can sort of get into our individual fears of the dentist. Allison, how scary do you currently find going to the dentist?
I find it like I'm not happy to go. I'm always really happy I went. And it's always way less bad than I'm preparing for.
Yes.
But I think my fear, like, I'm not, the cleanings don't bother me. And even like a basic cavity and getting the Novocaine, like, doesn't really bother me. But it's like, I'm afraid of, like, the big stuff. And you could need the big stuff without even being in pain. Like, they can find something and be like, we actually have to take this tooth out or do some, like, insane thing without you, like, being there because you're having, like, tooth or jaw pain. Like, the big stuff, the root canals, the having your mouth open for, like, a full hour, the drilling, like, no. I remember during my root canal there's some part where they like it's halfway through and they put some stuff in and she was like, don't bite down. And I was like,
oh my God.
Terrified. I was like, I know I'm not going to, but what if something happened? Like, what if I sneeze?
Well, there's an earthquake. Like,
what is something going to go like into my brain? Like, oh my God. So I could get to the dentist. I go every 6 months, but I live in terror of needing anything beyond a cleaning, really. What about you? What is your, walk me through your dentist fears.
A man, not always a man, it could be a woman, but I guess my dentist have all been men. That's not a gender judgment. I'm fine with a male dentist. That seems fine.
Sure.
I'm also fine with a male gynecologist. I will actually, I know that people want a female gynecologist most of the time. Mm-hmm. I don't mind a male gynecologist. That's fine. Good luck down there. You know, I know that to me, that seems totally fine. And for some reason, I will also say like, I have fears about going to the gynecologist, but that seems more manageable because on some level, and this is maybe going to sound insane, it's like I feel in touch with my vagina and reproductive organs in a way that my teeth are, like you said, like it's like I have cramps. Like I can sort of track certain information about my hormonal, my cycle or whatever. So I can sort of get a read on it. You go to the dentist.
No.
They look you in the eye and they say something and you have no way to know if what they're saying is true unless you already have pain. If you have tooth pain.
Right.
But they could tell you the whole goddamn thing's got to come out and you have to say, I trust you, man, I don't know. And then he comes in or she comes in with a drill and puts a drill in your mouth. And if this was not already an accepted part of culture and a woman, I don't know why I'm gendering them. If a person just came in to a room
with a drill.
And put a drill, consensually, I suppose, consensually in your mouth, we'd say, hey, 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 let's calm down here.
Not us.
We'd say the director's gone too far, Allison. That's what we fucking say about that. It is so it's like the logical part of it is terrifying to me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It is, and then being told, of course, that you were a failure, that you failed.
I think there is like a morality to the dentist that does not exist with other parts of medicine. Like, I mean, yes, like people are always like telling people to lose weight, even though it has nothing to do with their health. And like, there's all kinds of issues around, but like the dentist is dental issues are reflect a moral failing in our culture for some reason. And I don't like that at all.
And it's also absurd because dental insurance is basically, someone tweeted this and I need to find out who it's, but it's like, it's the opposite of insurance. Cause like ostensibly we will hit an out of pocket maximum going to our doctors. That sucks. And it's like thousands of dollars, but we'll hit it. Dental insurance, you are covered to a certain amount and then good luck.
You're on your own.
Just be opening credit cards because it's like, we've decided the teeth are not part of the body. And maybe that's why it also freaks me out. Where it's like, why do we treat teeth like they're not part of our body?
Right. Well, I think also, and if people have not seen this, I've been seeing it on TikTok a lot. There was a song that Titus does on Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt about teeth. And he calls their outside bones. And he says, there are bones that hang from your lips like bats.
That's how I feel about them.
It is like such a funny song. If you have like general fears about teeth, you should watch that because it's quite funny. But yeah, there is something where it's like, they are bones on the outside. They are categorized differently than every other part of our body. Like, it just feels like vaguely alien.
Yes. And even though we know that like dental health tracks directly to other kinds of health.
Yes, 100%.
But also, we live in a system that is so broken that it's also hard to get, like, a regular doctor's appointment. So it's like, right. I have not been to the dentist, and I know my mother and father listen to this. They know I haven't been because of my deep-seated fear of the dentist.
Yes.
I probably have not been in 7 years, so I know when I go in, it's going to be bad.
I want everybody, including you, listening to go and two phrases, because I didn't go for almost 10 years. And yeah.
It's very common. And then I had to go. If you're listening and this is you, like, this is very common.
Yes.
But I have so much shame about not going. And also,
yes, of course. Well, that's what makes it worse, too. Exactly. Because you're like, well, I don't want to face the music.
They're going to come and be like, what did you do?
Your dentist is not going to judge you. You do not want to have to go to the dentist. Mm-hmm. Like, you
don't want
to have to go.
Because if you suddenly have to go, did you suddenly have to go?
I suddenly had to go. I had massive tooth pain. Ugh. And then they were like, I can't believe we didn't have to pull this whole thing out.
Oh, God.
One bad tooth just went south. And I'd been brushing and flossing, and I could have been way ahead of it when it was a little cavity, but instead I didn't go to the dentist for almost a decade. And I have a friend who has also not been to the dentist in a really long time. And our other friend's dentist said, imagine your teeth are plates, and you eat a meal off a plate. And you rinse it off, but you don't clean it. And then you eat another meal off that plate. And you rinse it off, but you don't really clean it. Like, that's the dentist. So, like, go clean your plates.
I also think, again, if your dentist does shame you, just get up and walk out.
Get a new dentist. Like, get a new dentist, because they should not.
I just feel like most dentists at this point know. I also feel it about medical providers. It's like, you got to know that anyone coming in here, first of all, doesn't want to be there, but also, like, who knows, doesn't even know if their insurance even covers this. Like, doesn't know. Like, to me, it's like, there's so much anxiety already. And then also, like, the system is set up to, like, make you, to me, it makes you more anxious. Like, because you don't have a level of control about it. I also really just don't, the feeling and sound of metal on my teeth.
Yes, like, little it's terrible. Whispery, the sounds are worse than the feelings. Because, like, you know.
The sounds are horrible. And movie.
The feelings are pretty gentle. And when you get real stuff, you're numbed and you actually don't feel it. It's the sounds of the vibrations.
Oh, my God.
In your head.
When they use a drill and you can smell it, like, burning into your tooth.
Yes.
Two thumbs way down, Elsa.
Two thumbs way, way, way down. Two thumbs way down.
Please go to the dentist. I will report back when I go to the dentist.
Yes, please go.
Obviously, I support dentistry, and I want to be someone who goes every 6 months, so I'm making a commitment to going to the dentist, and I will report back.
Once I went back, it's been like 4 or 5 years now, and I go every 6 months, and it's not a problem. Like, it's just that first step. So everybody go take that first step if it's been a minute, and get back on the dental train.
And go to the gynecologist if that's something that you need to do as well. Just get the tune-up, get the everything under the hood checked out.
The very funny comic Leah Bonema has a joke where she's like, I don't go to any doctors except my dentist and my gynecologist, because whatever's wrong with me, they'll find it on one of those ends.
That's funny. That's also true.
Yeah.
Would you like to, based on your information you have from the trailer and just sort of the information that you have from the title, which is the dentist, and I'm going to say this guy's not a very good dentist.
Yeah. Okay.
Would you like to guess the twist in The Dentist?
Guess the twist.
I'm going to guess that he was never licensed to be a dentist.
Oh, I like that.
And he
a lot.
Was always kind of like faking it, like scammer vibes, like, I don't know, dentistry. Like, you wouldn't know if it's going right or wrong. Like, you can't, like, it's not like looking at something happening and being like, I know that that's wrong.
Is it the mechanic? You know what I mean? We're just like, someone says something like I don't know how to fix my car by myself. I have to trust you.
Right. I'm going to guess he was never actually licensed to be a dentist, and part of kind of his falling apart is that catching up with him, and that we find that out.
Okay, good. I absolutely love that. Let's begin.
I mean, I hate it as a concept.
It reminds me of, I know we've talked about this young gentleman before, but remember that like 17-year-old who kept pretending to be a gynecologist?
Yes.
I mean, to be fair, if a 17-year-old walked in, you'd think, hey, probably this person is not my gynecologist.
Yeah, just saying it.
But again, to the... Because of, again, way everything's set up in America, Grifter is kind of, you can just kind of get it anywhere, like, just because nobody's checking on anything, you know?
Nope. Nope.
And with that in mind, let us begin ruining the dentist. We open on sort of a shadow of hands sort of dancing against a white wall. And a man's voice, our narrator, his name is Dr. Alan Finestone. I'm going to call him Dr. Alan because that seems like something you'd call your dentist.
Dr. Alan.
Like if you had a therapist, you'd call him Dr. Jeremy. I just like the idea of like a doctor and a first name is funny to me. And we hear Dr. Alan say, ah, it's Puccini. Let it carry you away. And he's listening to opera music. And then we see his hands moving. And then we hear sort of the corresponding dental sound. Mm. But there's nothing in his hands. So it's like we see him holding a tube and it's a suction tube. And I hate the sound of that tube.
I hate Ooh. Mr. Suction.
And we see suddenly Alan appears and he's all in white as if in heaven. Yes. And he says to camera, and this to me is very American Beauty, a movie I fucking hate. Mm-hmm. He says, my story? I believe there's a story to be told on every corner. That was the 90s. It was
that
a white
was
man
the 90s.
In voiceover telling you there's a story on every corner. It's like, all right. And we hear him. We see his beautiful, it's like an all-white mansion, which is very 80s to me. I guess maybe like the 90s was the tail end of it, but it's like white carpet, white couch, white vase.
That was late 80s.
What a weird time.
Yeah.
We see him. He's like, I had a beautiful wife. I had a beautiful home. We had a perfect life. But under the clean white surface, there was a stench of decay. So he's constantly talking about the world and his life as if it is a tooth gone bad, Allison. So you
apartment,
you get the
stand-in for teeth.
Exactly.
Or house,
and
rather.
We see Alan, he's like a pink sort of Brooks Brothers button-down shirt, and he's storming through the house, yelling for his wife, Brooke, who is a stunning, like, blonde trophy wife, who's out in the back discussing what they describe as the sludge filter. I don't know, in a pool. I assume that that's real, if not hilarious. She's discussing it with the pool boy, Matt. And again, I think this was also sort of like the concept of a pool boy, a rich woman and a pool boy. And I mean, he's a pool man. I mean, he's a full-grown man.
Sure.
And he's like tatted up and he's got like the ripped, sleeves ripped off a jean jacket. And he's all
excellent,
covered in greasy sludge. And I was
like how gross is this pool?
I know. I was like, where would all this sludge like
come from?
I get it. We don't know the word one about pool maintenance, so don't. You know,
I actually
don't.
And I don't remember there being sludge.
There's way too much because I see the sludge, and literally Matt is cleaning the filter, and there's all this sludge. So I'm thinking, oh, it's gonna be blood. Like he puts a body in the filter. Like there's a head filter. No, it's just sludge. So we're not gonna come back to it.
All right.
And he sees his beautiful wife talking to this other man, and the phone rings. And Alan is enraged to discover it's IRS agent Marvin Goldblum. Mm. Goldblum. I'm going to say Goldblum so you can imagine it's Jeff Goldblum.
Great. I love that. And I will.
So IRS agent Goldblum. Turns out that Alan has a business manager who is running his dental practice and he fucked up his taxes as he was getting audited hard.
Ooh.
Which again, a white man in the 90s, biggest fear in the world, getting audited.
I will say I imagine getting audited by the IRS is akin to, like, the financial equivalent of going to the dentist.
Yes, because there is a certain thing where it's like, I fucked up.
I fucked up, and
here
it's really
it all
invasive.
Is. Yeah, there's nothing I can do. Just get in here. So he's basically forced to allow this IRS agent to come to his dental practice for a meeting. And, again, please picture Jeff Goldblum when we discuss the IRS agent. Alan keeps yelling for his wife. She comes in. And again, much like women in 90s movies, she is a total cipher. She is she exists only to be beautiful and to be projected upon. She's an idea of a beautiful woman with no soul or anything, which is fine because that's for this kind of movie, that makes sense.
Right.
It is really like every 90s movie was like, beautiful white blonde woman who didn't have much going on, you know?
Yes.
And so she comes in like, what are you yelling about? And he says, you picked up my shirt from the cleaners and there's a stain. And he literally points to it and it's a stain on the pocket the size of a pencil point.
Of course.
And he says, things are going to hell around here and I want to stop, Brooke. So I was like, okay, so this guy will have his own drill jammed into his eye socket.
Yes, as I hope, yeah.
Like he's such a piece of shit. And this is, I think this movie, this is a hard thing to pull off, which is in horror, most of the time we are, even like, this came to mind, like Malignant. Mm-hmm. I don't want I don't want to be malignanted, but no. I do want to root for Gabriel. Like, we all want to root for the villain, but when you make the villain the protagonist and yet you want him to be evil, it's so hard to threat. Yeah,
that's a tough balance.
Versus, like, let's say, and we're going to meet some characters at his dental office that I'm like, if you had made them the protagonist, then they get to sort of experience, like, oh no, is our boss the dentist going insane?
Right.
That to me would have been a little bit, versus we're getting him in voiceover and—
We know he's insane.
Yeah, so, which I like, appreciate, like, I think it's an interesting way to do it, but I would have done it a little differently just because he's so nuts so soon. And I'm like, I'm just waiting for this guy to put a shot, have someone put a shotgun in his mouth and blow the back of his head off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But Brooke's like, I'm sorry, I've been working on a fundraiser all week. Like, but then she says, and she kind of like gets a little horny, and she's like, I was going to wait until tonight, but, and she gives Dr. Allen, a pair of the most hideous platinum cufflinks you've ever seen in your fucking life. But of course, he's like, oh my God, they're so expensive. Like, he loves them because, again, they're another status symbol.
Yes.
Yeah. And he's like, well, my dinner to you is a surprise. My gift to you is a surprise dinner tonight. I'm not telling you where you're going, but be ready by 7 and wear that little black dress I like. Which, again, we should bring that back for the 90s because I do feel like that made dressing easier.
It was just like, if you wanted to look sexy and good, you had a little black dress.
And you clearly only needed one.
Yeah.
And it was like, that's my black dress.
Yeah.
So they
let's
start
bring it back.
I'm in. He started kissing. They start kissing. And he sort of like reaches under her robe. He's like, you're naked under there. He's like, yeah. She says, I'm going to the shower. He's like, you were out there just wearing a robe talking to the pool boy. Like, you can't be doing that. You know what? He's going to get ideas. And I could taste you were smoking. I'm going to have to brush my teeth again. And it's like, this is exhausting. And I'm not even married to this guy.
Out of this?
And I guess he's really wealthy. So I think, again, much like a woman in a 90s movie, like, she's a gold digger and has no other ambition but to be a mean rich man's wife and potentially fuck the pool boy, I guess.
Sure.
So she rolls her eyes and she's like, whatever. She goes upstairs to take a shower. And he looks, she sees that some of the sludge from the sludge filter is smeared on her forearm.
Not the sludge.
Where Matt must have touched her. And then he looks down and he's touched the sludge. It's sort of this like greasy.
Yeah. Sludge.
Sludge. You know sludge.
You know sludge. We all know sludge.
And we see him fingering the sludge. And he says, once the decay sets in, it can only lead to rot, filth, corruption. It's like, this is 5 minutes into the fucking movie, dude. Like, you gotta like, you're
starts at 11.
Yeah. So Alan goes outside to yell at the pool boy, Matt, who's again covered in greasy, filthy sludge.
I was the manager of a pool for several years.
How much sludge did you deal with on a day-to-day basis?
I would say I never once saw sludge. And I worked in the back, like I would do the chemicals and like do all of that and like make sure that the pumps were working. And I don't know. I never encountered sludge. Definitely not in a way that it would have ever gotten on me or covered
me. Right, yeah. I'm like, maybe a frog gets caught in the filter. That's sad. But there's not the quantity of sludge.
Yeah, the quantity is what's really – like, I can imagine there's probably a filter that gets some sediment in it, whatever. But just mass amounts of sludge, no.
Also, another thing is, like, we already can tell from context that if she hasn't fucked him already – Brooke is going to fuck Matt. Like, we have all the information. But for some reason, Dr. Allen, it takes him a little bit longer. She's, like, yelling at Matt. And he looks at Matt's covered in sludge. He's like, my wife had sludge. This guy's got sludge. I got to go to work at my very successful dental practice. And then he drives halfway down the block. He's like, wait a minute. My wife's fucking the pool boy. And then he drives back. And he sneaks into the house. And he peers through, like, the vertical blinds in the living room. He looks out to see his wife buck naked. Like, so she's taking off her robe. She's fucking stark naked. It's also like 7:30 in the morning or something.
So fucking early to be having an affair.
And taking off Matt's jeans and then sucking his dick on a pool chair, which I thought was pretty bold. But also part of me is like, well, you know, when in Rome.
Yeah, I guess you're there.
And then, so of course, as Alan watches, like, Matt reaches down and, like you know, grabs her. And it's getting greasy sludge all over Brooke's body. Again, his beautiful, pristine, white cis wife, the ultimate symbol of a man's success, has been besmirched by, sludge. And he's been made a cuckold in his own home, Allison. Can you even believe it? Allison, unfortunately for our two lovers, Alan owns a gun, which we see him then get from his desk drawer.
I can't live in a world where my dentist owns a gun.
I think a lot more of them do than we realize, unfortunately. Yeah. But he goes to get a gun and he goes outside. And so basically Matt's laying down on his back on the pool chair and Brooke is, you know, like leaning over him, sucking his dick. Dr. Allen grabs Brooke by the back of the head and basically forces her head down on this guy's dick and then holds a gun on both of them. And he screams at his wife, "I'm very disappointed in you." Again, we are 6 or 7 minutes into the movie.
So much is happening and none of it's dentist yet.
And he basically says, he's just like, "I have a dentist with me. My wife has perfect teeth. She has a perfect bite. Why do you show him, honey?" And he basically forces his wife to bite down on Matt's dick and screaming, "Show him your teeth." And then he takes his gun and jams it into Matt's mouth. And we see that Matt is like, his teeth are a little yellow. But also, it's like, it's all about teeth. It's like jamming a gun into this guy's mouth.
Putting a gun inside someone's mouth is so fucked up.
Yeah, I mean, luckily, it was just a violent psychosexual fantasy. Alan is actually just watching his wife cheat on him from the living room, holding a gun. So, unfortunately, Brooke is cheating, and also, he does have a gun.
Okay, so it could happen.
It could happen. Meanwhile, he is now extremely late to his dental practice.
Imagine being held up and it's like, why is the dentist late? And it's like, oh, he's holding a gun staring out the window as his wife fucks the pool guy.
Yeah,
anyway, he'll be here at 7:30.
Yeah. And so he has 4 patients, including a child, waiting for appointments. And there's a front desk gal named Candy, who I feel like I'd be friends with. There's also so much this movie is about like running a dental practice and like who would be involved. In this very funny way where I'm like, we didn't need to see like the supply guy come in. Like there's just so much dental stuff, which makes me think like Brian Yuzna must have just been at the dentist and be like, you know what? The writers. Someone was at the dentist's office and be like, wait a damn minute. And it is scary. So they were right.
I mean,
but all of course, at this point, all of the patients are like, so if he's late now, all of our stuff's going to get pushed back. Like, please. You know, when one guy's like, "I can't wait anymore," like everyone's at a 10.
Like I mean, 8 a.m. Everyone at the dentist office is at a, like, no one is like chilled out.
I'd just be screaming, just like spraying sludge all over the place. The receptionist tells this guy, like, "You can make a new appointment." He's like, "I already had an appointment," and he storms out. We then meet Jessica, who is Alan's assistant, who talks to Candy, the receptionist, and they're super annoyed. They're like, "Oh my God, where is he? Like, what the fuck?" And I feel like if they had given us one more sentence of like, "He's never done this," or, you know, "The last couple of weeks, he seems like he's really losing it."
Any context to what has happened before this morning.
Yeah, and it wouldn't, like, either one's acceptable. It could be like, this broke him, and now he's crazy. Now we're going to see him go crazy, or something's happening, and he's unraveling.
Kind of
time.
In turmoil. Yeah.
Jessica calls to the next patient. Her name is April Rain, and she is a beauty queen, and she's assisted by her manager, Mark Ruffalo.
Okay.
His name is
Steve Mark Ruffalo.
Again, not his best role, but he does a good job playing a beauty queen's manager. You know, it seems fine.
The role he was born to play.
Yeah, and basically they bring her in, and the dental hygienist, Karen, starts doing the prep work. Yeah, there's so much dental stuff in this. Which is why it's a great, like, if you're to the dentist, you should be about the dentist, you know?
Yeah, and it's like, it's already set, like, you don't even have to, like, stretch reality or imagination or, like, put anything in that office for it to be scary. It's already scary.
So Candy, you know, they're trying to, like, get the patients ready for when he arrives, like, getting them, you know, cleaned and everything. And so Candy is calling his car phone. Remember car phones?
Of course, I had one.
We see that Dr. Allen is driving after Matt in his, like, pool truck to the next servicing, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets there, and it's a friend of his wife named Paula Roberts.
That's the most 80s name I could possibly imagine.
And she has, like, a very – she's hot as hell, but she has, like, a very short, like, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yes.
Which is also very 90s.
Yes.
And so he goes, and he's trying to sneak in to see if Matt's also fucking this other woman, which I'm like, why would you care if he's fucking this other woman?
You like, should that's care if your wife is fucking other guys, but, like –
Don't stalk him to all the women he's clearly fucking in your neighborhood, you know?
He's got a grift going, and it seems to be working for him. Like, stay focused on your own family.
So he gets there and Paula sort of is like, Alan, what are you doing here? And he has his gun behind him. He's like holding his gun behind his back. He's like, oh, I was wondering if you're in town next Friday for, I'm going to have a surprise party for Brooke. Oh, yeah, that's it. A surprise party. And she's like, yeah, that's fine. And then she yawns and he sees her dental work in her mouth. Like she's out of like fillings. He's like, you really should make an appointment. We really got to do that one tooth. And she's like, oh, I'm so nervous. I hate the dentist, but you're right. Let's make an appointment. He says, my office will call you and confirm.
I really
so he's like, he's still
dentist.
A dentist, even when he's about to murder the man who fucked right. his well.
He's still keeping an eye on what kind of bonding and fillings he needs to do.
He's a dedicated dentist, Allison. That's what they do. And just kidding. He doesn't leave. He sneaks around to go see Paula. She walks through the house to her pool and, of course, starts seducing Matt. So Matt's also fucking him, fucking her. So then while he's turning to leave, Paula's Doberman Pinscher leaps and sort of attacks Alan. Because he's a strange man with a gun hiding in the bushes. And I'm sure the dog was like, well, I don't know much, but I know this isn't good.
I know this is my job.
Allison, he shoots the dog and kills it.
What the fuck?
I don't know. Back in the office,
like,
we see
how are you going to explain it? Like, if somebody finds you there and the dog has been shot and you have a gun and you're hiding in the bushes after inviting this woman to a surprise party for your wife and then scolding her about not coming in to get her dental work done, like, what kind of web of, like, intrigue are you weaving?
I will say, like, there are certain things in the news, like, oh, God, remember that family, in I think it was in Georgia, where it was, like, all these murders. What was, like, the, oh, God, now I feel terrible. But it was like one of those things where they were rich and they're like, oh, it turns out that they were crazy this whole time. And like all these different stories were coming out.
Oh. I think so.
Kavanaugh or something. I don't know. That's Brett Kavanaugh, the Supreme Court Justice I'm thinking of. I don't think he's ever killed a dog, or has he? No, I allegedly don't know. so yes. So he murders a dog weird, like, we already saw you in your fantasy, like, shoot your wife's, what's
lover?
The male version of a lover, a manstress? Shoot your wife's manstress.
Sure.
And now you shoot a dog. It's like, to me, like a weird, not a de-escalation, almost like a sideways lateral
right.
move.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We should have seen the dog first, I guess.
Yeah. We needed to see the dog murder first, Alice.
Yeah.
So that's what
get
I'm
that
saying.
Sooner.
But finally, Alan sneaks into the back door of his dental practice. And Karen, who is prepping April Raines, is like, oh, thank God he actually fucking showed up. You know, and Karen, this actress, let me look up her name. She plays this so realistically. And her name is Patty Toy. She's incredible at this. She's the one who's playing this so realistically that you're like, that is what my reaction would be. Like, she's trying to like be like, okay, great. We have to keep this dental practice running. But also, I think that maybe our boss is losing his fucking mind. Like, she's trying to keep it real with everybody. So she runs out. And she's like, oh, thank God you're here. You know, and he's like, actually, I've been here for 2 hours. I had a migraine and I was lying down in my office. And it's like, even if that was true, you still have to open the door and be like, hey, I'm really sick. Can you push? Like it's
right.
like, that
you
makes
need to communicate.
No sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he has like a bunch of he has changes of clothes because, as you can imagine, he's covered in dog blood, Allison, and he's holding the gun he used to kill that dog.
Oh my God, like that 30 Rock scene with Chris Parnell.
Oh, yes, yeah. I'm sorry, I was at a Halloween party and the host dog attacked me. I had to murder it.
I had to kill it.
And of course, as he's like, you know, sort of cleaning himself up, he looks at a photo of him and his wife. And we hear in his voice, a woman's voice saying, I don't want you anymore. You bore me. And then cruel laughter. It's like, oh, women, why are they always making me kill dogs?
Why did he bring the gun into the office? Like, leave it in the car with the phone.
This guy has no sense of proportion. He has no class. I'm going to say this. This guy has no class.
No class. Just no class.
And a part of me is so invested, like, well, are they going to be able to see all the patients? Like, I'm invested in, like, the support staff. So he comes up to tell Candy to book Paula Roberts an appointment for the next day. And again, lies are like, I've been here for 2 hours. I had a migraine. And again, nobody's buying that. Also, like, who?
Well, and either way, they haven't been seen, so.
Allison, unfortunately, his first patient he's going to see the day is a little boy,
Jesus
which I also
Christ.
Is not in the mood. Because I was like, oh, child and a mother, I assumed, okay, the mother's getting her teeth done. Because I went to a child dentist.
Me too, yeah.
Where there's, like,
dentist.
Games and stuff. So then it's like, And also, like, well, if he's going to go to adult dentist, it shouldn't be Dr. Allen. You know, the worst guy.
Dr. Allen is not, I mean, he's like, when you say adult dentist, he's like a capital A adult dentist.
Yeah. NC-17 dentist. Okay, so then, this is, like, fun from the 90s, too. Did you have this at your doctor's office? This was, like, so basically he takes Jody in, and all the different exam rooms are different themes. So this is the rainforest room.
Okay.
And I didn't have that at my childhood dentist, but it would be, like, there was, like, an electric toothbrush that lights up. Like, they try to make it fun. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
Did you have a fun dentist, or was it just regular?
No, he was just regular. But there were, like, toys involved, like, a takeaway, like, at the end. It's like, oh, you get a prize. But, like, yeah, I didn't go to one of those dentists, but I, like, am familiar with their existence.
And this, to me, is also dentistry in the 90s, you know? Because, like, there's the rainforest room, and then one of the other rooms is, called Just Like Heaven. So the ceiling is painted with, it's blue with clouds and angels. And sort of, like, there's fun stuff to distract people, which is why, again, it seems like a children's dentist office. But, listen, he's a man with a vision, unfortunately. We can see he has a very strong mind's eye, yes. I suppose. So we imagine the rainforest room. And so they get started, and we see the mirror in Jody, the little boy's mouth, and his mom looks on, and the mom is sort of like looking on, increasing horror, because Dr. Allen's doing the regular cleaning, which is even that's disgusting. Like, we hear like the click, 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 click of the.
There could be a 90-minute movie of just somebody doing very regular dental work on someone, and I'd be like, I couldn't watch this. I'm sorry.
Yeah, a lot of these shots I had to look away because I were really tough. But then she hears Dr. Allen start mumbling an increasingly large volume and says, if I divorce her, she gets everything. My practice will be ruined. And I'm not a parent, but I would not love it if my child's dentist started saying that kind of stuff.
I wouldn't like to be in the chair while someone is saying that.
No, I wouldn't want to be on the planet when I hear this. And we see the implements. They're scraping Jody's teeth and the hose, the little mirror. And then finally, in Alan's mind, we see through his eyes that all of Jody's teeth are rotted and rancid. And he stabs one of the tools into the little boy's gums, and blood starts gushing out of his mouth, and Jody's screaming. And fortunately, his mother grabs him up and is like, what kind of dentist are you? And takes her son out. So then there's no other kids the rest of the movie. Because I don't want to watch this little boy's got his little teeth taken out. No. So he's fine. He's out of there.
That's fine.
And Dr. Allen says, I don't want to deal with Jessica, who's just standing there like, what the fuck's going on? And says, we can't take children anymore. That little boy is spoiled. It's like, that's what your takeaway was? Don't worry. Dr. Allen rushes into his office then and opens a bottle and just takes a fistful of pills. But he puts so many in, he starts choking. So Karen, the dental hygienist, like, hears him choking and runs in to help. But then she's like, you know what? How about you rest up and I'll just finish up April Rains, because April Rains was just getting a teeth cleaning. And she's like, you know what? Don't even worry. Something's going on. So I'll, don't worry about it. And Dr. Allen's like, okay, good. I have to call my wife. He calls his wife at home. And he's taking so many pills. He's like, remember when we had our first practice? And that's the first implication we get that that Brooke used to be a dentist as well.
Okay.
But now they're so successful that she no longer practices. Yeah.
Well, they were like a dental power couple.
Exactly. And that's how dentists find love.
Yes. Other dentists.
And so, and he's saying this while like fondling his gun. He's like, I'm already running late. It's also 10 a.m. He's like, I'm already running late. So instead of coming home, just meet me at the office for our anniversary dinner. Meet me at 7. And she hangs up and goes, what an asshole. And then he hangs up and says, bitch. It's like, that is what a straight marriage is.
Yeah. It's also very the 90s.
Exactly. So 90s. Where 90s really was like, God, I hate my spouse so much. And it's like,
yeah, comedy,
a
drama.
A little bit more
all of
room
it was about.
To be like, just get divorced then, bitch.
Yeah.
So Karen finished up April Rains, and she says, I wanted to have Steve come in, and then I want to talk to the doctor before I go, because Steve wants to give me a full mouth makeover and, like, you know, well, don't use the term veneers, but that is like, I want my teeth done, you know.
New teeth.
Unfortunately, Dr. Allen, who again is now pilled out, barges in, is like,
with a gun.
I demand to see the x-rays. Even though Karen can tell he's unhinged and is like, I'm not letting you touch this woman's teeth. And so, because she's like aware of it, and he takes the x-rays out of her hand, and he's like, she's got a shadow on her right molar. It's a cavity. We need to fill it right now. And Karen's like, oh, God, okay. Because again, she's like, you're my boss. He takes out these huge fucking needle, Allison, and he goes to inject her in the gums. And she says, I'm too scared of needles. Are there any other options? And he says, have you ever had nitrous oxide? She says yes. Meanwhile, we meet the two detectives that are going to try to solve the murder of Paula's dog, Allison. And their names are...
Right. There's a dead dog in play.
Yes. And I mentioned everyone in the neighborhood heard a gunshot, and then now there's a dog that got shot in the head.
Right.
Like,
and it's like,
it's not a great sign.
Why?
Our two detectives are named Detective Gibbs, and even more importantly, Detective Sunshine.
No.
And they're on the case. And they've been looking. There's been a burglar in the neighborhood. They're like, but they're like, we've never used a gun before. But also, and they're like, well, he's never been confronted with a dog before. Like, maybe this is an escalation, you know? And Detective Gibbs, like, just get out there, talk to the neighbors, you know, cop stuff. Back at the office,
okay.
Steve, the manager, is in the waiting room. And we meet this other patient who's waiting, this teenager named Sarah, who's very cute and has had braces for 2 years and is like, I'm getting my braces off today and then I'm having a party for all my friends where I get to have, everyone can see my teeth. And Steve...
Did you have braces?
Yes, I had them for a little over a year in high school. What about you?
Yeah, I had them from like fifth grade to like ninth grade or something. I had years of braces.
And
now my teeth are crooked, so... What a good investment that was.
I remember I had a pink sparkly retainer, and then I, of course, stopped using it immediately. Yeah, and I remember trying to put it back in, and just, I couldn't do it.
You can't even do it. It's not even like it hurts. It's like it just won't fit.
Yeah, I remember my dad, he was really diligent about wearing his retainer. And then one time, it was like freshman year of college, he dropped it in the toilet. He's like, my time with my retainer has come to a close.
I think by the time you've got, like, a college student child. You can
just
give up.
It's like, in theory, you could be wearing it the rest of your life. And yes. I do want to meet that person who is that diligent, but no human is.
No one.
So Sarah's really excited. And Steve says, well, you know, you're so pretty, you could be a model. So why don't you show me your model walk? And Sarah's like, I can't do it. And then she's like awkwardly, she's playing it. I'm assuming this woman's in her 20s, but she's playing it as an awkward teenager.
Sure.
And so they have a little bit of a moment. And then finally, Steve, the manager, goes, how the fuck long has April been in there? Like, she's, we have another appointment. I'm Beauty Queen's manager. And yeah. As you know, that means that's very important, you know?
Rigorous.
Unfortunately, Allison, something bad is about to happen to April. So she is, she's on the laughing gas. Mm-hmm. And as Dr. Allen's about to fill her cavity, she reaches over and grabs his dick through his pants and says, if you don't hurt me, doctor, I won't hurt you. And Dr. Allen looks down, and the crotch of his pants is now stained with sludge.
Sludge.
This, unfortunately, triggers what I would describe as Dr. Allen's psychosexual insanity. And he looks down, and April has turned into Brooke and is now, in his mind, is nude except for the robe she was wearing in the morning and underwear. And he starts to kiss her and sexually assaulting her, taking off her clothes. And... the Brooke in his mind, and he like literally takes off her pantyhose, her shoes. And this was also terrifying because like, unfortunately there are occasionally doctors who absolutely do this kind of thing and take advantage of their patients. And then they don't get found out because of like the paternalistic nature of medicine.
Yes.
So no one believes anything that happens to a woman.
Yes.
And then it's not until 20 years later, it's like, oh yeah, that guy was doing all sorts of funny business.
To so many people. Yeah.
It's so scary. So I feel like, oh, this was also a terrifying moment where it's like, yeah, most of the, like 99.9% of the time you're fine. And the other 0.1% you're not. And you just don't know because you're also unconscious because you're on gas. And so the Brooke in his mind says just like that. But he hears just like Matt and starts choking her out. And as soon as he starts choking her out, he sort of snaps out of his maniacal fugue state and realizes that it's not Brooke. It is his patient, April Rains. And he has pulled off her shoes and pantyhose and is sexually assaulted her, like grabbing her boobs. Like, and it's only then that she realized. And Dr. April, I'm going to say, not a good dentist.
No.
And April, from being choked, is coughing, and she's able to pull off the laughing gas off of her face, and she stands up disoriented, like she doesn't remember what's just happened, but she's not comfortable.
Yes,
something and is like has panicked. Yeah. Just then, Steve comes down the hallway and was like, "Where the fuck is April?" And Dr. Allen brings her out, and she's really woozy, and so he tries to tell Steve, you know, she's having an allergic reaction to the laughing gas. It's really minor. It should clear up in 10 minutes. Why don't you come sit down? But then when he turns to take them into the exam room, her pantyhose and high heels are on the ground. When it's like, well, obviously you sexually assaulted this woman. Yes, you took off her pantyhose and heels. Like,
no other reason for that to be on the floor.
You're a dentist, bitch.
You're a dentist. You're doing just head.
Yeah, this is just head work. And so she said, he pivots, he goes, Steve, would you take her outside for some fresh air? And Steve's like, oh my God, that's scary. Yeah, we'll go outside. Again, taking his word for it as a medical authority that she's just having an allergic reaction. And so the support staff sees Steve physically carrying April outside, Jessica turns to Karen and says, they're dropping like flies. My question to you, Allison, is, and I'm going to put you in the position of being Jessica, Karen, okay, or Candy, someone who works here. Yes. What would you do at this point?
What would you do?
I'm calling the cops.
You got to get someone
in
there.
You got to get somebody over there. And I'm not letting any more patients be with Dr. Allen.
Yeah.
I'm telling everybody to go home.
Yes.
In the waiting room. And calling the cops and trying to keep him there until the cops come.
There is, and I think this is, I just listened to this really excellent podcast called The Retrievals. Whatever people's bandwidth is for medical true crime, essentially. Yeah. But it's about these women who were getting egg retrievals. It turns out one of the nurses was addicted to fentanyl and was stealing the fentanyl and replacing it with saline. So when these women were getting this very invasive, painful procedure done, they were not medicated, including one of them had been a nurse or some sort of medical professional was like, I have been on fentanyl before. And also I'm a medical for like childbirth or something. Right. And this is not what fentanyl is. Like you've given me nothing. It's saline. And she could tell because she could taste saline in her mouth. And they didn't listen to any of them. They basically were like, well, you know, basically like as if their pain was a total manufacturer of their mind.
Yes.
And I think, unfortunately, as women, that just happens so often. And again, it's not just women, but there is that particular element to it. Mm-hmm. And I think when these things happen where like a medical professional, it's like the system is built for people to be like, is it really that bad?
Right.
You know? And so then when someone is using the system, for example, unfortunately, these doctors that occasionally assault their patients, it's like there is no system by which a patient has the power to be believed,
right?
Which is really scary.
Right. There's no path towards.
Yeah, it's so dark.
Like any solutions to it's really dark.
Yeah, but listen to The Trevals. It's a really excellent podcast. And boy, this is the sequel is when he pivots to become a gynecologist because he loses his dental license.
I mean.
But yeah, you got to get someone in there. You cannot. I'd be like, you have to pull a fire alarm. You have to do whatever you can to get everyone out of there.
You can't let him power, see anyone else.
I don't know what. Yeah. Call it a bomb threat. Like, clear out the building and see what you can do the next day.
Yes.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Ruined is brought to you by Factor. It is so hard to plan and prepare and eat healthy meals every single night of the week, but I'm super excited about Factor. You get every meal is fresh, never frozen, and is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. I mean, this is exactly what I need. It's spring. I want to do stuff. I want to stay fueled, but I don't want to waste any time preparing or shopping or doing any of the stuff that it is to feed yourself as an adult.
Absolutely, and I feel like we've all had the experience of like getting home and being like, oh my God, I can't cook an entire meal. So for me, Factor is a great option in terms of like having food there, like having food on hand. It's also me not wasting groceries. You know what I mean? You can imagine, you see what I'm like on the pod. You can imagine what my fridge looks like. In this way, I have prepared meals ready to go. They're healthy. They are waiting for me.
And it's great because you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. So like if you're going to be eating out a lot, you can do fewer. If you're like in a kind of a vegan mode, you can do vegan, and you can pause and reschedule deliveries all to just suit your lifestyle. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/ruined50 and use the code RUINED50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code RUINED50 at factormeals.com/ruined50. 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Instead, they don't do that at this point. And Dr. Allen tells Candy, the receptionist, like, order more nitrous oxide. We just ran out. I'm going to use the backup one. And she says, okay, great. I also booked Paula Roberts for an appointment tomorrow morning. And she wanted to know, did you happen to notice anyone brutally murdering her dog this morning?
Did you, or did you see someone shoot a dog?
Yeah, did you see someone kill my dog for no fucking reason? And he's like, that's crazy. Who would do something like this? Anyways, I have to go back and be insane for a while. Meanwhile, Jessica goes in the exam room that April was in and finds April's pantyhose. And so she knows, okay, he sexually assaulted this woman. She shows Karen, and poor Karen is like, again, there has to be a reasonable explanation. We've worked with this guy forever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I because of our personal relationship, I cannot believe that he would do something like that, which happens a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that going around.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Goldblum, Jeff Goldblum, Jade Goldblum? Allison, which is it?
I've always said Goldblum, but...
Goldblum it is. Meanwhile, Jeff Goldblum from the IRS shows up and tells Dr. Allen that he's basically like, you have terrible tax problems and I can help you sludge up the wheels a little bit.
Okay.
If you give me free dental work. So essentially, this IRS agent is trying to work over Dr. Allen.
Scamming.
Is scamming it for free dental work. And it's like, is everybody our dirtbag?
Yes.
That moment, unfortunately for Dr. Allen, but fortunately for at least everyone who has any... semblance of like a notion that he's insane now, Steve barges back in and punches Dr. Allen in the face and calls him a pervert. And he doesn't specifically say you was sexually assaulted April, but Steve turns and yells at everyone like, do not see this man. He is a pervert. I'm going to sue you.
Thank you.
We are calling the cops. Fuck you. And Dr. Allen then snaps and shuts down the dental office. And the teenage Sarah's like, I thought I was going to get my braces off today.
Oh, God. You're just, when you want to get your braces off, you're just like, any delay to that is a nightmare.
Yeah. But to be fair, Sarah, you're going to want to hold off.
You're going to want somebody else probably just to do this overall.
Yeah. And Dr. Allen's like,
you don't know what it's like. The discipline, the long hours, and the lack of respect in a world that goes on ignoring dental hygiene.
Doctor. And everyone is like, okay, so we're going to close the office, right?
Yeah.
So they close. Honest to God, it's probably been like an hour since he got there. Like, things are really like 9:45. Allison night falls. And having heard from her husband to come to the office, Brooke arrives in her little black dress. She looks incredible.
Nice.
And Dr. Allen shows her his new exam masterpiece, a room that is opera themed. And he's showing her around like as if he's showing her around the Met while Puccini plays. And he's like, listen, she sings of love. And Brooke says, we're going to lose our table. You know, like, but it's also like, you knew your husband when you met him. Go to have some sort of opera.
Yeah,
right. You know? But he says, Brooke, it's our anniversary. You know, just give me a minute to show you what I could do. Lay back here in my weird opera dental chair. And this is like for ladies and gentlemen, being married to a dentist isn't all sunshine and roses.
No, okay. No, it's not just free dental work and money.
And as soon as Brooke lays down, he, of course, takes off his, he has like one of those white, like you wear with like a tuxedo to the opera, like a white men's scarf.
Yes.
Takes the scarf and just starts fucking choking the hell out of her.
What the fuck?
And then slaps on the laughing gas mask before tying her arms to the.
To him.
He ties Brooke's arms to the exam chair with green curtain ties.
Okay.
So Brooke is now restrained and on laughing gas.
Who had the laughing? Oh, she has the laughing gas. Okay.
Yes.
I could see him also just like taking a hit. And
you're absolutely right. And I would have liked to see that because I also think of that, which is in Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes.
When Steve Martin's character is addicted to laughing gas. I would have loved that.
It's also a Tim Watley Seinfeld bit where he takes a hit of it.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
So he tells her, I've been watching what you've become, what you've all become. You, Matt, Paula Roberts. And I'm like, Paula Roberts? I don't see how, like, yeah, she's not
don't
married
bring
to you.
Her into this.
Why do you care? And also, like, you don't know for sure if she's even married. So it's like,
right.
if she's a single woman just fucking this guy, how mad can you be? You know?
Yeah, maybe she's divorced. Maybe they're separated or estranged. Also, saying someone's first and last name when they're very much a part of your life is so funny. Like, it's
funny. I honestly got to think it was like someone's like, they're not going to remember who Paula is. We haven't mentioned her in a little bit. So you got to say Paula Roberts. Paula Roberts.
Yes, Paula Roberts.
Oh, the one whose dog got murdered. Okay. Yes. And Brooke's like trying to moan through the laughing gas mask. And he says, you better stop. You don't want me to cut out your tongue. Then you wouldn't be much use to Matt, would you? Allison, unfortunately, he wheels over his little tray of horrors and he reaches in with a pair of pliers and just starts ripping out Brooke's teeth one by one.
Jesus
as she
Christ.
Screams and screams. Back at home, we see Alan looking out over the pool and says, you know, I never used the pool. I built it for you, but we should use it together. And he turns and he says, no, in his voiceover, which is even doesn't even make any sense, like, just to have him say it out loud at this point. Like, yeah. He's just, like, whatever. He turns, he's like, nothing will ever come between us again. And we see this horribly, Brooke bleeding from the mouth, laying in bed, eyes pleading, all of her teeth torn out.
No!
In the morning, we see Brooke tied with zip ties to a pool chair in a bikini with sort of like a drape on her and a sun hat tipped over her face. So to the casual observer, it looks like she's asleep.
Chilling.
Yeah, chilling by the pool. Matt arrives to go clean the pool just as Detectives Gibbs and remember, Detective Sunshine arrive to ask about, of course, the dog for murder.
I love that this guy's got... There's dog murderer detectives. There's sleazy IRS agents. Like, the walls are closing in on Dr. Allen.
Yes, and he's starting to spiral. But luckily, he's able to be like, oh, God, that's crazy. If I think of anyone who would murder a dog, I'll let you know. And Detective...
Why wouldn't he just frame Matt?
God, that's a great question. Wait, why didn't he?
That's a great... I mean, that get them off your tail.
I think he wants to kill Matt.
Yeah, he wants to kill Matt.
Yeah, I think he's like, that's crazy. And detectives leave him a card. And Detective Gibbs says, you know, you're a dentist. It's kind of like a cop. A necessary evil. I'm like, that's a wild way to look at it.
Jesus Christ.
But they leave before they see on the table is a bottle of spilled pills, presumably sedatives that Brooke is on, two empty containers of baby food, presumably because you have no teeth, and a knife. And outside, Matt starts to scoop up the leaves and stuff out of the pool, and he scoops
for the sludge factory.
Oh my God. Well, if you don't get the leaves out, it's going to manufacture more sludge.
Yeah, that's it.
Allison in the pool, as he pulls up in his little basket, it is a human tongue. And he turns because Brooke walked in assuming Brooke was asleep, and he runs over to Brooke and he's like, Brooke, there's a human tongue in your pool.
No.
And he pulls the hat away and she screams, and we see in her mouth, all of her teeth are gone and her tongue has been cut out.
Oh.
And she's like...
That's so upsetting.
And he kind of backs away in horror and surprise. And Dr. Allen grabs Matt from behind and slits his throat.
Okay.
And so as Matt sort of staggers forward, he stumbles into their little patio furniture and knocks over the umbrella. And Dr. Allen advances on him, stabbing Matt over and over again. He's like, my name is Dr. Allen. And Brooke is my wife, you filthy piece of shit. And he throws the knife into the pool. The next morning, or no, was this the next morning? Yeah, so it's the next morning.
Okay.
He immediately drives cheerily to work for his first appointment, which is, of course, Paula. So despite
Paula
what has
Roberts.
Happened, Paula Roberts.
Okay.
Now, you remember Paula Roberts. Her dog was murdered. So his coworkers know for a fact that he sexually assaulted one of the patients. They also know that he is acting erratically and screamed at everyone. And then shut down the office midway through the day. And now they're back open and he is seeing Paula Roberts.
You can't just be open the next day.
I just don't think you can. I don't know how dentistry works.
But yeah. I don't think that works for me.
Also waiting is Brace-faced Sarah, because she says, like, well, you know, I had to postpone my party for a day, but I really want to get this done. Like, she's so committed to getting her braces off. But Dr. Allen's like, excuse me, bitch, Paula Roberts is here. Paula goes in, and Paula also, for some reason, does not suspect him of killing the dog. She says, I think Dennis killed the dog. He knows how attached I've grown to it. And I'm like, is that your husband? Is it your ex-husband? Is it your partner? Like,
we
hear the word Dennis. I'm assuming ex-husband.
Ex-husband. Feels right.
Because we haven't seen him. I don't know. Like, but again, we can't get bogged down. Because he injects her gums and they chat about Matt. And she's like, wow, Matt's one of the best pool boys I've ever worked with. How's he doing over at your house? And she said, he said, this is where you find out it's a sludge filter. He's like, you know, we've had some problems with the sludge filter, but I don't think we'll be having any more problems. And then he takes a drill. And as Jessica, the dental assistant, watches, he just starts pulverizing Paula Roberts' teeth, just grinds her molar up.
No.
And so Jessica grabs him and hauls him outside and was like, you are destroying that patient's tooth. The doctor, I was like, never question me. I am the dentist. You are just a woman. But Jessica, she's like, I already know what I saw yesterday. You're literally just destroying teeth.
Yes.
Which is also very Dr. Death if you listen to that podcast. It's like,
yes,
people, it took
Dr.
so many people
Death
being like,
fucked me up.
This guy, oh man, because it was about spine surgery. Yeah. And it took so long for people like, this guy's just going in here and ruining
fucking
people's spines.
Around. People but are again, getting
you,
hurt.
Yeah, you just don't want to believe that someone with that skill in that prestigious of a space would be actively hurting people.
Right.
But he was.
But he was.
You know. So Jessica pulls him aside. Meanwhile, Karen comes in to say that Jeff Goldblum from the IRS is on the phone, and which gives time for Jessica to go in and tell Paula to get the fuck out of the office. So Jessica did the right thing and said,
good
Paula,
for Jessica.
Doesn't even explain why, just says, you need to get just the fuck get out of here. And Paula Roberts, to her credit, her dog has just been murdered. She's like ready
she's
to
She's not
go.
Fucking around.
No. So, of course, Dr. Allen comes in and realizes Paula's gone and goes off on Jessica. He says, you're fired and I will not be giving you a recommendation because I find your work unsatisfactory. And she goes, fine, you fucking freak. And she whips out the pantyhose. And he's like, I know what you did yesterday. And in Dr. Allen's mind, the pantyhose are, of course, covered in sludge. And he grabs them from her. She's like, I know you assaulted that patient. Everyone here is afraid of you, but I'm not. I'm reporting you to the Dental Association. And then Dr. Allen finally lets his mask fully slip. And he goes, you filthy pig. And she cuts off and says, no, fuck you. And she does say, fuck you.
She says, fuck you.
You're the pig. Allison, unfortunately, she turns to go and he throws the pantyhose around her neck and starts choking her out.
No,
so many,
Jessica.
So many choking out moments.
A lot of choking in this movie.
And she tries to fight him and he gets her down into the exam chair, of course. And she's able to reach and try to get, she gets a syringe off of the tool tray and tries to stab him with it, but she dies. He strangles her. Jessica, you did try to do the right thing, but you were no match for a dentist. Meanwhile, Candy calls up Braceface Sarah, but then Jeff Goldblum from the IRS rolls up and again is like, sorry, Braceface, I'm going to be seen next. And he gives Sarah a $20 bill to like cut in front of her. And Sarah says, I can't take this. And he takes it back. He's like, that's honorable, but next time just take the money. So Dr. Allen gets Jeff Goldblum into another exam room. And again, sort of trying to act as normal as possible. And Goldblum's there to grift him and defraud him. So he's not, he's also has because he has a scheme, he can't see how Dr. Allen's clearly sweating and going insane, you know?
Yes, he's just focused on getting what he needs.
Exactly. Oh, also, meanwhile, Dr. Allen also told Karen, I just fired Jessica, so she won't be returning. And Karen's like, we're already understaffed. What the fuck is going on? He's like,
yeah, you're out of your mind.
He freaks out at her, and she's like, you know. And I think, unfortunately, to me, I just assume most sports apps, like, I got, like, three kids. I need this job. I guess I'll put up with this, you know? And meanwhile, so he's in the exam room with Jeff Goldblum, and Jeff Goldblum tells him, you give me all the free dental work I need, and I won't report your financial crimes to the IRS. And then an interaction happened that I don't understand because I don't know enough about dentistry, where basically Jeff Goldblum says, here, we can start here. And he hands Dr. Allen two teeth or like two caps.
What?
And Dr. Allen says, we could use laser bonding to reattach them.
Whose teeth are they?
I assume they're either fake teeth that Jeff Goldblum had or they're real teeth he had. But if they're real teeth, why would you bond them versus doing something else?
You can't put real teeth back in your head.
But also, this was the 90s.
Right.
Like, now it's like you would get, like, a dental implant or something. Like, I don't know what they were doing back then, but I was like,
nothing good.
That's their business. But, of course, Dr. Allen gives Jeff Goldblum laughing gas. And Jeff Goldblum's really, like, laughing about how he owns Dr. Allen now. And he asks a bunch of perverted questions about his wife because he was researching the practice. He's like, that hot wife of yours. And there's also this underlying current of, like, all the men are Jewish, ostensibly, because they have Jewish names. And Goldblum says, these shiks abroads really know how to do the deed. Am I right or am I right?
Why are we bringing that into it?
I I'm like, you know, I haven't heard of a shiksa since the 90s. I'll tell you what, we got bigger fish to fry than the shiksa broads.
Also, Jewish women are canonically more wild in
bed.
That's
what I thought. I was like hearing that. I'm like, if anything, white women are supposed to be like the most buttoned up, which again, the expectation of the white patriarchy.
Yes, of course. But wow, such a backwards stereotype.
Truly wild. But of course, as soon as he gets Goldblum sedated, Dr. Allen ties into the chair and starts just fucking torturing his ass, including putting a jaw spreader in his mouth and cranking it open so his jaw breaks open and his jaw's basically resting on his chest.
No.
Before, you guessed it, cutting his fucking tongue out and leaving him there.
God, this guy. He's got some problems.
Just then, a man named Matthew Ziegler has arrived from the dental supply depot. And ask Candy, hey, can I take you to lunch to tell you all the new stuff you guys want to order? And basically the idea is like, I'll take you to lunch and like, you'll put an order for me. And Candy's like, oh my God, yes, of course. So he's like, oh, another insight of what the dental industry's like yeah. you know, like a pharma
They're
salesman.
A pharma rep, yeah.
Yeah. And it was just so funny at this stage of the movie, I'm like, I gotta keep dragging Matthew Ziegler now. meanwhile, Detectives Gibbs, and remember, Detective Sunshine. Get the ballistics back on the gun. It's a .38. Guess who's a registered .38 with that exact, you know, that exact gun? It's
not
Dr.
Paula
Allen.
Roberts.
Yeah, Paula Roberts, my friend. And I abbreviated this the stupidest way possible.
DT.
And Detective Gibbs says,
because he's a dentist and capable of anything.
It's true, and this is the context of this universe. So they go to Dr. Allen's house. They find Matt's body and the disfigured but still alive Brooke. So the detectives have rescued Brooke and found Matt's body. Was like, oh my God, we have to go to Dr. Allen's practice immediately. Unfortunately, back at the dental practice, Karen, she doesn't know that Goldblum is back there being tortured.
Right.
Karen finds Jessica's wallet in her purse and was like, wait a minute, Jessica wouldn't have. Like, if she got fired, she would have taken her
shit. Yeah, she'd take her stuff with her.
She makes a fatal mistake, okay? She confronts Dr. Allen. If you find that, Allison, if somebody tells you they fired me and then you find any personal belonging of mine, do not confront them. Just leave. Because she confronts Dr. Allen, and instead of admitting to his crimes,
Take my stuff, run and find me.
Yeah, unfortunately, Dr. Allen takes the dentist way out and takes a empty syringe and injects air into Karen's neck.
No.
Until she starts seizing and has a stroke, and he's telling her, like, just relax and do it. The air bubble will travel to your brain and kill you. There's no use fighting it. So she fucking dies.
Right. Bye.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Up front, Candy's going to lunch with dental supply salesman Matthew Ziegler, but not before sending poor teenage brace face Sarah back to finally get her braces off.
Oh, well, good for Sarah.
Exactly. Maybe. And Dr. Allen removes them and she smiles. She's like, oh my God, my teeth look so good. But in Allen's eyes, her teeth are all cracked and crusty and covered in sludge. And he says, it's so sad. You're so perfect. And it's all downhill. Every second from here on out will be decay. Can you live with that? I don't think you can. And he pulls out his gun on Sarah and he points it into her mouth. And in that moment, she transforms to Brooke and starts screaming. And Dr. Allen's like, he put his dirty rotten in her mouth, you know, remembering the Matt and Brooke cuckolding him But fortunately, when Sarah screams, Dr. Allen snaps to get out of his, like, homicidal reverie. Mm. And she's able to kick that little mirror thing. You know, oh, no, the light. They bring the light and swing it over.
The light. I know the light. It looks like an overhead projector. It always looks 1,000 years old somehow, even though everything is, like, up to date.
I guess it's one of those things where once it's invented, it's like, oh, we did it.
This is it.
Actually, this thing works
this
great.
This is actually perfect.
Why can't we do it with all society? I feel like wish we do things that work great. It's like, but what if we destroy it by making an AI do it? It's like, okay, I guess. So she kicks the mirror thing and it hits him in the chest and he sends him flying. And she runs and is able to hide a storage closet. Unfortunately, Jessica's body falls onto her and she has to run out of the storage closet. Aye. She finally makes it to, like, what she assumes is the exit. It's actually the exam room, which has Goldblum, who's still alive, being tortured, like, you know, with the jaw thing, and Karen's corpse. She's able to untie Jeff Goldblum, who's somehow still alive, but in very rough shape.
I know.
And Dr. Allen bursts in. He grabs for Sarah, and he's crawling on the ground after her. And she's only able to escape when Goldblum collapses on top of Dr. Allen, dead.
Okay.
But, again, she cannot find that damn exit. She runs next into the opera room.
Oh, boy.
Where Dr. Allen corners her, and he's able to get her into the exam room with his gun. But she tells him,
please, I want to eat candy. I'll brush 3 times a day, please.
Which turns out is what Dr. Allen wanted to believe. He wanted to believe in feminine perfection.
Wow.
He couldn't believe the world is full of decay, but here... And Sarah closes her eyes in terror and feels a hand on her mouth. But when she wakes up, it's Detective Gibbs. And I cannot stress this enough. Detective Sunshine. The police have arrived and saved her.
Finally.
And we see Dr. Allen in his car peeling away. And the police interview Sarah and Candy, who probably didn't even get to eat that lunch.
Yeah.
And she goes, I can't believe this. He was an incredible boss, a devoted husband, and an incredible teacher. And the detectives say, what do you mean, teacher? Allen said, Dr. Allen teaches at a dental college.
What?
And we see him with all these students. And, like, so it's sort of like this big room with, like, students. And, like, because I remember in New York, you could go to, like, New York Dental School and it'd be cheap.
Yeah.
Which, again, like, oh, my God. Like, why do we have to do that? I mean, like, I get it. Like, that's good. How else do you learn? But also it's like, oh, my God.
Right.
And he's running to all these students and their patients screaming, extract them! Extract all of them! Take out all their teeth! And then he, of course, pulls out a gun and he shoots Matt, only to snap to and realize he just shot some guy who was there to get low-cost dental work. Poor bastard. Fortunately, the police bust in and Dr. Allen escapes into the college building only to find a woman in a little black dress singing. What else? But Puccini.
Opera, yeah.
Yeah, and he comes up behind her, and of course, in his mind, it's Brooke. And he reaches for her, he drops his gun, only to have her turn. And we see that it's some lady who is singing opera there. But in his mind, it is Brooke. And Detective Gibbs, and of course, you love to see it, Detective Sunshine, arrive just as Dr. Allen falls to his knees and sees in his mind Brooke laughing. Because I guess somehow in his mind, she... was victorious and somehow...
Right. She's fine or something?
Well, I guess she's alive, but you did cut her tongue out and take her teeth out. And if anything, I would argue that makes it easier to suck dick.
Yeah.
So I hope she gets back at it as soon as possible because she's earned it.
Right.
If that's what she wants to do.
Matt.
Yeah. And we end with Dr. Allen as we was in the beginning, all in white and in front of a white wall. And we finally see it. He is, of course, in the padded cell at a mental asylum. And the guards get him in his straitjacket, and they say, it's time for your weekly appointment. And he's taken into a room and forced into an exam chair. And when the dentist turns around, it's Brooke. And she smiles a completely toothless smile and starts to drill baby drill. The end.
Wow,
the dentist.
The dentist.
Allison, what are some fatal mistakes you think anyone may have made in the dentist?
Mistakes.
Like everything Allen did was wrong.
Yeah, big time. Big time. Wrong on every level. Morally.
Morally?
I don't know the dentist code, but I imagine he violated it. Yeah, professionally.
The vows of a husband.
You know, one of these things where, again, I'm like, you know, if they had just agreed to be non-monogamous, you just wouldn't be setting up these kinds of scenarios, you know?
I do think that the gals at the office could have shut things down a little earlier once they sensed, like, something's amiss here. And I just feel like even though Paula Roberts was in the midst of her pool man, you know, sexual encounter, she probably would have heard someone shoot her dog. And I think she could have, like, maybe pieced together that it was Alan earlier. Like, she should have heard that gunshot. It happened on her property. He had just been at her front door. I'm sure his car, like, if she had just run to that moment, not to blame her, obviously she's a victim in all of this.
Well, because you are. I would say you are a victim. You are victim blaming Paula Roberts for her own dog's murder.
Paula
Allison.
Roberts.
I see what you're saying. I guess maybe that's why I wanted in the beginning to be like, seeing his wife cheat on him is what made him snap. Like, maybe it's like, which is like, I'm misogynistic in its own sense, but like, at least would have had a logic to it versus like, he opens on being a dirtbag and screaming about his shirt. So you just wanted a little more like, oh, this is the day he goes insane. I think to me, then that would explain why everyone, it takes them a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Versus he seemed like a prick and now he's escalating. But I guess maybe that is, that's, I mean, I don't know. It's unnecessary. I guess I'm demanding too much of the dentist. Yes. And I enjoyed it for what it was, which was a horrifying look into the mind of a real life dentist. No, all of the tools, this is what going to the dentist feels like to me.
Yes.
Is everything's fine. And then all of a sudden a drill's in your mouth.
Yes.
And you have to pay them for it.
I have to ask, like, how do you think this movie does in terms of making your fear worse or maybe making you feel less afraid of the dentist as an entity?
Thank you for asking. That's a great question. I would say it made my fear worse.
Okay, great.
It reminded me of both my horror of, you know, I mean, the idea that like a medical professional it would be unscrupulous or unethical at all is terrifying. But then it really reminded me of how scary I do find all those little metal implements and all the close-ups of the them scraping the teeth. And I'm afraid for a reason. This confirmed to me that this is a fear that will stay with me. And hopefully will stay with you, listener, as we continue our week of horror, of greatest fears. Yeah, this is definitely still number one. And this did not
great.
Help.
Yeah.
This did not help whatsoever.
Sure. I can see that. I don't think that this made the case for the dentist not being a scary place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which, now I mean, have all kinds of new fears about the dentist.
I know. I'm like, really, the logic of doing this was not a healthy one.
No.
But with that in mind, Allison, where would you put the dentist on the spooky scale?
A spooky scale.
I'll say real dental work does scare me, as does toothless smiles. That's like just a very chilling thing, and that was really a part of this. I would give this, but it's also like an unhinged society-esque movie that does bring it kind of into the fun world and outside of like genuine scares. I'm going to give this a 5.5.
I you know what? I like that. Yeah, I'm going to say a 5 because I feel like while I always nitpick about sort of internal logic because I just find that really satisfying, I did find all of the actual dental horror really genuinely upsetting.
Yeah.
And any mouth horror I find genuinely upsetting. And then to add that it could just be just like a sexual assault, like in the middle of it.
Yeah.
While you're sedated is actually, I'm gonna make this a 6. I think for me, this is a
really
6.
Really escalates it.
And I will say the goofiness is why it isn't higher. I like, you know what I mean? I like that suddenly someone from the IRS is here. Like, those moments I find entertaining in a society way, but they do make it less scary versus.
Agreed.
If this was like David Cronenberg doing this, sort of in a Dead Ringers type of way, then I think this would have perhaps been near unwatchable to me if this was a realistic dentist horror movie. And if you've watched something like that, if that movie exists, please let us know. I'm happy to maybe watch it or maybe have Al's. No, can't do that. We'd have to have
a third party.
I was like, oh, reverse. He's like, no, no.
We'd have
a third party in to watch it. Yeah. I think dental horror is probably at least right now. Well, that and kids are up there in terms of like, I genuinely just find it so viscerally upsetting. I'm going to give this a 6. I'm going to give it higher than you, Allison.
All right. Wow.
Well, I hope that encouraged you to go to the dentist. Yes. Because, hey, whatever your experience is going to the dentist after listening to this, it's going to be better than Dr. Allen.
Right. Your dentist is not Dr. Allen. So you can always be grateful for that.
Exactly. And until next time,
please.
We love you very much. And please keep it spooky.
Keep it teeth.
Don't forget to follow us at Ruin Podcast and Crooked Media for show updates. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a review. Ruined is a Radio Point and Crooked Media production. We're your writers and hosts, Hallie Kiefer and Allison Leiby. The show is executive produced by Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, and Houston Snyder, and recorded and edited by Kat Iosa. From Crooked Media, our executive producer is Kendra James, with production and promotional support from Ari Schwartz, Kyle Sieglin, Julia Beach, Caroline Dunphy, and Awa Okolati.
If you're as obsessed with Hollywood celebrities, awards, and gossip as we are, we'd like to recommend a podcast from Vanity Fair called Little Gold Men. Each week, actually two times a week, Little Gold Men goes behind the scenes to cover every part of the entertainment industry, from award season snubs and surprises to the news and trends that shape your favorite TV shows and movies.
It's the best of Vanity Fair's signature Hollywood analysis in audio. They also have entire episodes dedicated to interviews with top celebrities like Penelope Cruz, Guillermo del Toro, Kristen Stewart, Andrew Garfield, and many more. So please listen and follow Little Gold Men, available wherever you're listening now.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.